River crossed, bridge forgotten. And I love that scripture, which you read so nicely. Thank you. It says, you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anybody else. You belong here. You know, there used to be a lot of bridges. There used to be a lot of bridges between the church culture and the American culture. Lots of bridges. If you think back to when you were a kid, bridges of common traditions like Christmas and Easter, they overlap between the different parts of your life. Bridges of art like hymns or classical music. Fine arts. There used to be bridges of common values, values of hard work, values, say, of the institution of marriage. There were a lot of things where the church culture and what we call our regular culture at large, they had a lot in common, and there were bridges between the two. But most of those bridges are gone. Most of those bridges are gone. If you really stop and think about it. Now, like I was just listening to some of the new census stuff and all things about marriage and children being born out of wedlock. I mean, as a culture, the things that we say we value in church, this is not happening anymore. Lots of things have really changed a lot. Each of you are here because you found a bridge. Or you're on a bridge, making your way to God and to the community of faith. But the little funny skit, and I thank you because we're so funny, it reminds us that once we've crossed a bridge, once we've gotten someplace, it's really easy to forget how hard it was to get over the bridge. It's really easy to forget how hard it was to find that crossing over point, that entry point. We get on to other things, or we lose sight of the fact that there are a lot of people who just can't find the bridge, or don't know even that there is another side. Don't even know that there's another side. We have to make new bridges for those that we care about if we want them to have an opportunity to draw near to God and to draw near to the community of faith. I have a friend who loves covered bridges. Do you have any covered bridge fans here? Or Alan Shelby loves covered bridges. And he'll go out of his way to go and find a covered bridge. And some of them you can still drive over. But a lot of them, they'll keep the covered bridge. But you really got to use the next bridge that they've built, you know, and that covered bridge is just special. And they've had to build new bridges for the actual traffic to go. And we have to build bridges. We'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that. The Apostle Paul wrote that letter to the Ephesians that Jerry was speaking from. The Apostle Paul was a famous enemy of everybody who loved Jesus. And his first day job, if you will, was to round up Christians and put them in prison and persecute them for believing in Jesus. But after he saw the light, he went through a metamorphosis. He went through this huge shift in how he related to God, how he thought about God, how he did his ministry, how he related to other people. His life couldn't have changed more radically. He had found a bridge to God. And Paul had made this huge shift from thinking about Jews to thinking about Gentiles. And I like the version that Jerry used because it kind of pulled out a little bit of that language a little bit, so it wasn't quite so heavy. But in Paul's day, the people of God were the Jews. You were born a Jew, and you were the people of God. And then there were the Gentiles, which was everybody who wasn't born a Jew. There were pretty much two big piles. And that's it. And the Gentiles were outsiders to the faith. So we had insiders, and we had outsiders. And Paul's first job was to make sure those lines were very clear, and to make sure everybody stayed in their place. And then when he came to know Jesus, everything changed. And his He shifted his primary focus of ministry and love to those folks who used to be considered insiders to all the other people. And from places where he was comfortable to places where he wasn't comfortable. And he built a bridge for people to cross over to God. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. Matter of fact, that's Paul's biggest contribution to the Christian faith. Because I would guess that everybody in this room is a Gentile. I mean, do we have anybody here with great, significant Jewish descent? I don't think so. Not today. Donovan has some, but she's gone. Everyone in this room is a Gentile. You're an outsider. And yet someone made a bridge for you. Started with Paul. So you could cross over and draw near to them. Building bridges. During the Dartmouth orientation a couple of weeks ago on the 15th, where Earl and I brought Ben over to Dartmouth, they had like a little Dartmouth, a little community fair. They had this big gym, and they had all these, like, all the campus clubs, the fellowships, the computer clubs, all these folks. They had little booths, and you'd go out and, you know, learn stuff. And, you know, the security people were there, and you learn about binge drinking. Or they just had all this stuff, just this huge kind of expo. And you just kind of wander from table to table, and you'd learn a lot. And then there were all this community stuff, like the community bank, like information to maybe set up a local checking account, and, you know, all the local churches had their little booths set up and little tables. It was actually great, and you would go with your kid. So I guess the idea being that at least if the kids weren't paying attention, the adults would be paying attention, and the adults could say later, you know, hey, you know, there really is a writing clinic, you know, or, you know, there really is a local bank, or, you know, whatever. So it was this kind of great, just huge expo. Well, one of the places that I was passing was this couple of guys, church guys, and they were passing out T-shirts from their church. And it was this T-shirt wrapped up in a rubber band with a business card on it. And this young guy, he was very excited about these T-shirts. And he said, do you have a freshman? And I said, yes, I do. He says, well, give this to your freshman. He will love this shirt. He's like, do you want a blue one or a red one? I said, I'll take the blue one. Thinking Ben. Ben is definitely blue. Ben's not red. Ben is blue. So I had forgotten about it until it was time for us to leave. And as we're getting ready to leave, and Ben has to get on to the next event, and you, any of you have ever dropped a kid off at college or been dropped off, but you know, this is the most traumatic moment, you know. Anyway, so you know, it's all fraught with all kinds of emotions. So I said, oh, I forgot. I got to pick up this T-shirt for you. And then I'm back. And if you don't want it, I'll bring it home to Sam when I need it. So Ben unrolls it, chuckles, but quickly declines, suggesting, oh, you should give that to Sam. So I brought it home to Sam, and Sam took a look at it, and then he did a little double take on it, and then he smiled, and then he wore it to church. This is from the Riverbank Church.
He worked at school.
He worked at school. Riverbank Church in Lebanon, which is just down the. They meet at the Lebanon Opera House Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. It's a nice little website. So I have to show you this shirt. This is Building Bridges. Should you get a look at this? Yeah, you don't see it first. Now they're beginning to chuckle. Anybody read that? So you have to really look at it. For those of you who are listening, this the T-shirt has a little church steeple on it, and it says, church doesn't suck. I said it. Now it's recording. Church doesn't suck. Sam took one look at this, and of course Sam said, I can wear this shirt. Wore it, was it the first night you had Cat at CBA? Or was it the second one? I can't remember. And he wore it on Cat Day and drew up a crowd for the fellowship at the school. And you got quite a few comments. I do love CBA because the teachers went with it. The school went with it. I was a little concerned. And he said, Mom, if you could see what kids are wearing to school, this is not a big deal. But It got quite a bit of actually positive comment. And it made such an impression on me that I sent an email to the church. And this is what I wrote. I said, "Dear Riverbank, I was recently handed one of your t-shirts at the Dartmouth College Freshman Orientation exhibit on the 15th. Your folks were quite friendly and engaging. I was unable to entice my new college freshman in wearing the shirt, though he thought it was cool. So I brought it home to my more daring 14-year-old son, who promptly donned the new attire and wore it to school as an advertisement for his first youth fellowship meeting of the year. He organizes and runs a small fellowship at his private ski academy. Quote, church doesn't suck received a lot of positive reviews, even from the teachers. It proved to be an excellent discussion starter and raised the cool factor of the group. I just thought you'd like to know the positive ripple effects of your outreach. May God bless you as you serve in his name." So I sent out this email just because, you know, you got to thank people, you know, and it's so easy to move on. Well, I got an email back, which was a little surprising. I got two emails back, one from the lead pastor and one from the director of outreach. And I won't read them all to you, but I will read this. It said, "Thank you so much for your encouraging response about the t-shirt. Your 14-year-old is awesome for running with it. This is exactly why we made them. It gets the word out and starts conversations to let people know that church does not suck. Many people who have never been to church have a preconceived idea that church is boring and lame. As you know, Jesus of the Bible was neither. We want to let people know that. It is part of our vision, quote, doing things nobody else is doing to reach those nobody else is reaching. Thank you again for taking the time to let us know your experience and your outreach. May God bless you as we partner together to reach the world for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if there's anything we can do for your son at Dartmouth, let us know." But I now have their motto over my desk upstairs. Doing things nobody else is doing to reach those nobody else is reaching. That's building a bridge. That's our call. And that's our call here at Sugarloaf. That's why we're here, and nobody else is. Because we are doing things nobody else is doing to reach people nobody else is reaching. To build bridges in our community, we need to shift our focus from those, say, inside to those out there. Now, programmatically, we are a very outwardly focused church. Programmatically, we are all over this. Tin Mountain, Roundup, Kids Club, Shoeboxes, yada, yada, yada. What I want to encourage you today, particularly as we come to the table, is for you to think personally and individually about your life and to remind you that the bridge you took to get here is not the way that others will come. Who brought you to church for the very first time? Who brought you to church? Think back. You probably don't even remember, but you know. Who brought you to church for the very first time? Your parents? Yeah. Who brought you to church for the first time? Your parents or your grandparents. Right? Parents are no longer the bridge for children to come to church. Think about it. Parents are no longer the bridge. That's not a bridge. That's working terribly well right now in our culture. And we don't need to get into the why and wherefores. It's just that that's not a very workable bridge right now. It's not about planning. It's just about observation. And what was your first experience, as you remember, what was your first experience of church community? What was the first thing you did? You remember doing a church? Bible school? Or Sunday morning worship? Or mass? Or Sunday school? For me, I was thinking particularly Bible school. That's an excellent answer. I love it because that really helps what we're doing. I was thinking Sunday school or, you know, church, going to church on Sunday or Saturday night. Going to worship is no longer the bridge. Even that's no longer really the bridge, the entry point by which people first connect with people of faith. So what I just want to remind you is the bridge that you took to get wherever you are in your life and in your walk with God is not necessarily the bridges and the ways that other people will come. In technical church language, I am talking about this, quote, creating non-threatening entry points, non-threatening bridges that build community, or connecting the dots of life rather than connecting with church program. We have to do it a little bit differently than the way you and I experienced it. I want to give you a couple of practical bridge building materials, and then we're going to come to the table. I just want you to think of these things in your own personal life. Like I said, programmatically, we're all over this, but I want to encourage us kind of as individuals in our life with God. Here's some practical stuff, things you can use. When you hear someone mention a concern, something that they're concerned about, somebody who is sick or some struggle in their home, when you hear someone mention a concern, ask, may I pray for you? Or ask them, would you like our church to pray for you? Just ask. You'll be amazed if you take that, even that small risk, the answer that you'll get. And that doesn't mean you have to do it right then and there, although if, for some people that's really exciting. But you could just say, can our church pray for you about that? Or we have this prayer box. Can I put that in the box? Secondly, when you hear a person who has a concern about their child, you could say, you know, we have an after-school program for children. Would you like me to get you information on that? So I'm going to get some information about that, or I can send you an email about some things that are going on for elementary kids. Or when you meet a woman who just moved to town, or a family that just moved to town, would you be interested in information? We have a women's group going. Would you like some information? That's all. You don't need to say, you're going to come. Just say, would you like me to get you the information? I was just getting information, two or three new women that I was meeting at the AGC. When you find out that somebody is ill, would you say, you could say this, and I'm giving you permission. If you find someone who is ill here in town, you may ask, would you like our pastor to visit you? Pass that along to me. I'll do that. When you meet someone who is single and alone, you can say, you know, would you like to come to church with me on Sunday morning? I'll pick you up. Or when you hear of a need that we are not presently addressing, dare to ask yourself, is God calling me to step into that place? Or to think creatively about that. Is there a bridge here that we could start building? What would that bridge look like? It's as we, as the people of God, are aware that we are building bridges all the time. And to remember that the bridges that we took are no longer necessarily there for people. Ultimately, the ultimate bridge is Jesus. Jesus is our bridge to God. And in communion, Jesus' sacrifice brings us into union with the Father. Jesus truly is the ultimate bridge. But we're all kind of doing our part to help people find their way to God and to a community that will help support them in their journey toward God. Because we're all on the journey somewhere. We're all on the journey somewhere. Let us thank God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Will you join me in prayer as we come to the table? Lord God, we thank you for the bridges in our life. Our parents, grandparents, that church way back when, that Sunday school teacher or Bible, vacation Bible school teacher. Or maybe it's even someone in this room who said, hey, come to church. We thank you for the people in the situations that you put in our lives that have continued to draw us to you. And none of us have arrived, Lord, you know that. But we're seeking you. And God, we come and we seek you at this table. And we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who stretches out his arms on the cross and becomes a bridge for the world to come to God. For your Son is the Savior of the world. News too good to keep to ourselves. I'm going to invite you in kind of an attitude of prayer to come and gather on the table. There's not many of us today. If you'd like to come and sit right in the front, we'd like to do that. But the group is small, it's nice.